WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. NYPD Blue finally started its new season last week. In the opening scene, Bobby Simone, played by Jimmy Smits, and Andy Sipowicz, played by Dennis Franz, questioned a man reporting that he had just been robbed of his wallet, his car, and his pants.
I mentioned to Mr. White this pattern we've been working on where the prostitute gets into the car and points the John to some romantic parking lot off of South Street, and then a hard-working pimp shows up and sticks a gun in his face. How we got two detectives on the street right now trying to put a stop to this before somebody gets shot. But he can't help us with that because this case is unrelated. This is a whole separate phenomena here because there's no prostitute involved, right, Mr. White?
I told you what happened.
Mr. White told me what happened. So he can't be of help on this pattern that we've been working on where we got these two cops out on the street busting their ass. I'm feeling kind of bad now because I thought Mr. White might be lying.
Well, maybe being in a strange police station, he just can't remember right. Maybe needs more familiar surroundings.
Could that be Mr. White?
Try taking him over to his house and talking it out with his wife in the room and see if maybe that might jog his memory.
Wait. No. I think we should do that.
All right.
My guest is NYPD Blue's co-creator, David Milch. He's written much of the dialogue that's made the show so popular. Helping him to keep the series believable is creative consultant Bill Clark, who's also with us. He's a New York City detective who worked on such high-profile cases as The Son of Sam and the Zodiac Murders. Many of the stories on NYPD Blue are based on his work. Last December, after 25 years on the New York City police force, Clark retired and moved to L.A., where he continues to work on NYPD Blue. David Milch and Bill Clark have collaborated on the new book, True Blue, The Real Stories Behind NYPD Blue. Each week on the series, the cops investigate a murder. I asked Bill Clark what it's like to enter the scene of a murder.
Well, some of the crime scenes were rather, a little tough on you, but basically, from the time I entered that crime scene till the time I effected an arrest, I was trying to figure out exactly what had transpired in there. And in a lot of ways, that's exactly what we do in the show, is we make that story about what happened from, what brought this about and who did it and whatever. And that's what I did from the time I walked in there. It didn't take long as a detective before the body being there became something that you didn't have to deal with too much.
What was hard for Billy, it was correspondences with his own experience were very difficult for him. I remember him telling me that he went to one crime scene where a girl had been shot through the head and then incinerated by her boyfriend in an effort to conceal the crime. And I don't know whether her birthday was the same as the, or she had the name of one of your kids.
She had the same first name, and she had the same birth date as my daughter, and also the car was registered in her father's name, same as my daughter's. It was very, very close to home, that case.
So those things made it difficult. I think because, tragically, homicide itself becomes so run-of-the-mill, it's those kinds of coincidences that tend to distress a cop.
David, are any of the cops in NYPD Blue emotionally closest to Bill Clark and his way of dealing with the job?
I don't think so. We had conceived the cops before I got to know Billy. And I think what we do is we draw on Bill's experience. As we're doing this interview, three other detectives from New York are sitting here. And one of the things we do is every couple of months we bring out friends of Bill's and draw on their expertise as well. But what I started to say is that I think portions of Bill's personality are in every one of the cops, including, strangely enough, Medavoy, whose fussiness is really right down Bill's alley. We were doing a story where Sipowicz and Simone went upstate. And I was saying to pick up a suspect, and I was saying to Bill, well, how do guys kill time up there? And Bill said, well, of course, they do go antiquing, as if that's the most natural thing in the world. But Bill is a great collector of antiques, and he raises little birds. And his place is, when I first went into his place in his apartment in Brooklyn, I thought that I had entered Marlon Perkins' annex. And I said, what, you know, how many birds are here? And he said, oh, there's not that many. It's like 150. There's like 200 birds, he says, but it don't seem like more than about 80 or 90 birds.
On NYPD Blue, when the cops are interrogating a suspect, they try to convince the suspect that the suspect doesn't want to have a lawyer, at least not yet. Why do the cops want to make sure on NYPD Blue that the suspect doesn't have a lawyer until they're done talking?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that annoys me with television, other than our show, is the fact that people seem to think that the lawyer just comes in to kind of referee the interrogation so that nobody lays a hand on him and he's not intimidated. Well, the reality is, if an attorney enters the room, if he allows the suspect to confess, he is then going to be sued for malpractice. So he is not going to allow him to answer any of your questions. So effectively, the interrogation is shut down the minute that he calls for an attorney. So we work very hard to keep him out of there so that we don't shut down what, in most cases, is the single biggest piece of evidence against the guy, which is a confession.
Now, on the show, the cops are always trying to make it seem like it's going to be a better deal for the suspect if he talks to the cops before the lawyer comes.
Yeah, that's the biggest lie we ever tell. I mean, it's most times.
You suspects out there, Bill doesn't mean it.
Yeah. Most times when a guy sits into that interview room, if he doesn't confess, then a great deal of time he'll wind up either walking back out a free man, or it'll be at trial a big piece of evidence against him if he does. I'll give you an example of something. It's not my favorite subject, but the O.J. Simpson case. I think one of the mistakes that was made in that case was there was so much evidence against O.J. Simpson, physical evidence. I've never seen so much circumstantial evidence in any case, that rather than get the confession, they did a brief 30-minute interview with him and let him go. Now, with all of the so-called inconsistencies and mishandling and anything else that was brought out in trial, if there had been a confession from O.J. Simpson, he would have been convicted. There was no way that the jury could have looked past that. And that's the lesson that a detective learns very early in his career is, with a confession, it's easier for you on the stand because they're not going to beat you up as hard because they know there's a confession that they've got to deal with. And to me, that's the single biggest thing I've always worked for.
My guests are David Milch, the co-creator of NYPD Blue, and Detective Bill Clark, the show's creative consultant. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are David Milch and Detective Bill Clark, NYPD Blue's co-creator and creative consultant. They've collaborated on the new book, True Blue, The Real Stories Behind NYPD Blue. So what are some of the things that a cop might tell a suspect to get the suspect to not make that phone call to the lawyer?
Well, one of the things is you tell a guy, listen, you know, you're the guy that's going to do the time, not the attorney. He's looking to come in here for money. He doesn't care about your welfare. You know, this is the time to make the deal. It's going to help you. You can explain why you did it, the motives behind it. You know you didn't mean this. It was an accident type thing. And, you know, something had to drive you to commit this act. I had a case very similar to the Simpson case a week or two before that. And a man and woman stabbed brutally. The woman was stabbed about 30 times, the man about 60. Trail of blood leaving the scene. I had the guy in about 3 days later, excuse me, and I told him, I says, listen, you know, this is a vicious crime here, and this is horrible. I says, something had to push you over the edge to do this. You don't want to go in as a crazy man, just a vicious murderer. Something had to do it. And he explained it away that it was a jealousy thing, and he lost control. He had done a few years in jail, and he realized when he cut the first guy, that he had blew it and he was going to go back, and he just lost control and he just stabbed out of frustration. So
it's important to realize that it's so easy to simplify or oversimplify what a detective does during the course of an interrogation as one thing or another thing. There's an element of physical intimidation sometime, but much more often you have to be sympathetic to the guy. You have to let him know that you understand what moved him and put him in that position. And when someone is willing to cross the line the way a murderer has been by the act of committing the murder, you have to realize that the court of justice is not necessarily the thing that he or she is looking for in the course of the interrogation. They want to feel understood. They want to feel supported. There's a whole range of motivations that the detective can look to satisfy and subordinate the suspect's impulse to get someone else in there. If the person feels that the detective is his best ally, or the detective understands him, in the case Billy's talking about, when he got, that's the Flowers case, when right. he got the confession from Flowers. Afterwards, Flowers said he was the nicest guy Bill had ever met. This poor guy wound up dying a few days later of an asthma attack. But he felt that Billy was his best friend at the end of that interview.
Bill, would you ever make promises to suspects that you couldn't really keep in order to help get a confession?
Well, legally, you can't make promises that you can't keep. You can lie to him about things, but, you know, as far as time served and stuff like, you know, time that he would do in jail and stuff like that, you can't do. But as far as evidence that I have against him, that I have co-defendants that have flipped and stuff like that, I've lied many, many times.
That's legal. You have to understand that the legal test is you may mislead a suspect so long as the way you mislead him would not make an innocent man confess. In other words, you can't say, I have your wife in the next room, and unless you confess, I'm going to beat her, because then an innocent man might confess. But you are able to say your running mates have confessed. You are able to say, you know, we've got evidence from the scene. We recovered the gun. Because an innocent man would know that that wasn't true.
David, I think this is an example of what you say in the book, and this is why I'm asking about this. I think it's really interesting about the difference sometimes between a cop's sense of right and wrong and the legal standards of justice.
Absolutely.
That's something that you try to work with a lot on NYPD Blue.
Well, it's really a kind of tragic paradox in our society that what we ask cops to do is to protect people, and if nothing else, the period of time that I've worked with Billy and with the detectives that he's introduced me to has acquainted me with the perpetrators are beyond the pale for the most part. I mean, you're talking about people who obey none of the dicta or rules of society. People who, you know, who skin victims alive in front of their children. I mean, unspeakable, unthinkable things, and yet once they're in custody, society wants to erect this kind of hypocritical set of standards, and so that they can feel that the perpetrator is being treated fairly.
Well, we don't know if they're guilty yet. That's, you know.
But the thing
that's why
is
it's so important.
But the thing is, the cop does know if they're guilty.
Do you think that's true, Bill? That you could really tell if someone's guilty or not?
Absolutely. I was a detective for 23 years, and I can say that I never arrested anybody that I didn't know was guilty, you know. And anybody I've ever worked with is the same way. But the thing is, unfortunately, a lot of the reasons that we know somebody's guilty are not admissible in court, and the jury doesn't get to see them. But, you know, for us to proceed to the next step, which would be arresting somebody, we always feel they're guilty and have evidence to prove it, hopefully.
David Milch is the co-creator of NYPD Blue. Detective Bill Clark is the show's creative consultant. This is Fresh Air.